Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Water by God podcast. I am your host, Alicia Arna. If you are new here, welcome, welcome. I hope you all have been enjoying the podcast lately, y'all. We have so much to talk about this time. I'm not gonna lie. We have so much to talk about in this podcast episode. I'm going to try to keep it brief, but if God have his way, then God just has his way, okay? So let's go ahead. Y'all know, okay? This the third episode, so y'all should know by now. We're going to go ahead and go into prayer. Father God, we just thank you for another day, another time to admire your help, admire a second chance, God, admire new mercies, new grace, new love. New everything today. Allow us to be new today and forevermore, God. Allow us to not be like we were yesterday, God. And we just come that you forgive everyone, Lord God, that is watching this podcast or listening to this podcast. And even myself, God, forgive us of the things, God, that we do that are not like you, and help us to strive to be better daily, God, from yesterday, God, and not living in yesterday, but moving on. Lord, moving forward, moving, Lord God, to new beginnings, God, to a new thirst after you, God, a new, Lord God, hunger after you. We just need you even the more on today, God, and we just thank you. We love you. I pray that everyone that is listening, that is tuning in, receives everything that they're looking for, everything that they're thirsting for, everything that they're searching for, Lord God. For you said, knock and the door will be answered, God. Seek and they will find. So I pray that whoever is seeking you on today, God, that they find you, Lord God, and seek you wholeheartedly, Lord God, withholding nothing, God. But I thank you for what is in store and what you're about to get ready to do for them, God, what you've already done, God, and what you're doing right now. And we just thank you. We give you all the glory. We love on you today, God. It is in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, y'all, we're gonna go ahead and get started. So the title of today's podcast, if I had one, and of course I have one, would be make sure that you understand the only way to get to it is to go through it. Okay, so if we taking notes, y'all, I mentioned, I think in the last podcast, to make sure like we are taking notes so that way we can keep up with everything that you know, everything that God has given us, everything that God is pouring out on us. And so to title these notes, it would be the only way to get through problems is to go through them. Get to them, get to where you want to, excuse me, y'all, in order to get to where you need to go, you have to go through something, okay? So to get to it, you got to go through it. Amen. There we go. To get to it, we got to go through it. I don't know why the enemy just wanted to keep, give me a mental block to keep me from getting that out. And I bind that because we're going to go ahead and get this message out for today, because this, I know, is going to help somebody if he already trying it. So I bind that mental block and we're going to go ahead and pour out what God wants us to pour out, y'all. And we're going to come from multiple scriptures on today. And first, let me just explain with this message. And if you're watching the video, y'all, do not mind. Do not mind, y'all. We just got snow, and so I can't go anywhere today. I'm just stuck in the house. So today is chill day for me. I got this hat on my head. And don't let the hat fool you. I got a good twist out, a mean twist out under this hat. And so when I take it down, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But until then, you know, I got to rest with this hat on my head. So, but moving forward. We're going to be coming from Exodus majority of this podcast today. And so what we're going to be talking about is we're going to have to go through some things to get to where we want to get to. And just because God promised us something, that does not mean in order to get to that promise that we're not going to go through anything. No, we have to go through things in order to see that promise be fulfilled, in order to get to where we want to go, in order to have what we want to have. We're going to have to go through something to get that. And so that is what we're going to be discussing on today. So to hop right on into it, we're going to start from Exodus 14, y'all. I'm going to try not to basically just overwhelm y'all with scripture, but I am going to read a good bit today of a few scriptures just so you guys get an understanding. I'm going to try to break it down piece by piece, section by section. So starting in Exodus 14 and this is the New International Version. Chapter 14, verse 10, and we're going to go down from there. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So right here, I'm going to go ahead and stop right here. And let me just give y'all what previously happened before then. So what happened is you have Pharaoh and the Egyptians against the Israelites. And so in this time, the Israelites are like being treated bad. They're going through a whole bunch of things, like people are dying. They're just going through like a whole bunch of bad things. And so God calls Moses to bring them out of the hands of Pharaoh and out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so basically Moses is like, you know, God has better places. We need to go. We need to move out of here. Everybody get your things, get your people, get your loved ones, and let's deal. Let's go. But the Egyptians were like, the Israelites were basically telling Moses, well, you know, first of all, where are we going? Second of all, you know, where you're going to take us is going to cause us a lot. And we don't want to go through anything. Like we don't need that. We're right here. What they're saying is we would rather just sit here and serve the Egyptians than what you have or what you think you're getting ready to take us to, or where we're already going, where we're on our way to. And so basically, if we keep reading, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." So I'm going to slow down and we're going to go back. Okay, so God never promised us that we wouldn't go through anything. So why do we get upset when we do? Why do we get upset when, you know, God may say, oh, you're going to get something, you know, you're going to get that job, you're going to get the deliverance. But in order to get that deliverance, in order to get that job, we have to understand, y'all, that it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you self-control. It's going to cost you, you know, how to have a mindset on getting to where you're trying to go. Things don't just happen overnight. It doesn't work like that. Faith without works is dead. So if you have faith in what you're going to get to and faith that what you're going to have is going to happen and is going to go forth, you have to put works to that. There has to be works behind your thoughts, works behind your actions, works behind your heart, works behind everything, because we can't just do things and think things and feel things and think that, you know, there's no actions that have to take place with that. And so it's just like in this, how later on we're going to read about Moses parting the sea. And so Let me go back to scripture. So basically what happens is, and I'm going to read this too, but what happens is the people end up following Moses. And as they're following him, they get to the Red Sea. And right then and there, they like, Moses, we didn't sign up for this. Like, imagine just, you know, you in this bad place and then God calls this one person to say, everybody, let's go. Get your stuff and let's go. And you're walking and you're thinking like, oh, we escaping them. We escaping the bad people. We escaping everything that we need to escape just to get to a body full of water. And right then and there, looking at that water, it looks like, well, you know, if I just turn around and look back, we don't have many places to go. They're following us. We can't go back because they're going to kill us. Or they might just, you know, make our torture worse. So we got to, you know, Moses, what's going on? And Moses has to go to God, because Moses, he knew that they were going to get to the promised land, but he still did not expect, you know, to see the body of water himself. So he cried out to God. He like, God, like, help me, Father. And so God gives him the ability and the power. And I'm breaking it down for the people, because I know this is like, for a lot of Christians, this should be like a popular, you know, well-known story, but some people may not know the story about God parting the Red Sea, Moses parting the Red Sea, God giving the power to Moses to part the Red Sea. And so if we go down to 15, it says, verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And before then, if we go back to 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And so right here, Moses is telling them, the people you see today, you won't see them again. You won't. The problems that you're struggling today. So I'm here to tell y'all, the problems that you're struggling today, if you following God, you won't see them again. The same people that are hurting you, if you following God, you won't see them again. You won't feel that pain again. You won't feel that hurt again. The same drugs that you're taking that you think are helping you and they're not, if you just step away from them and you go turn the other cheek, they won't harm you again. And it's all these different things that even in this story, God is telling you what you think is helping you, it's not. So let's just move forward, because you won't see it again. You won't. But it's because God cares so much that he wants to see you in the better places. He wants to see you around better people. And so the Lord, he said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Only to be still. Psalms 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And a lot of times God just wants us to just be still in our circumstances, be still in our situations, whatever you're going through. Your hands are not mighty enough to hold it. The problems that you're holding, you're not strong enough mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Only God can give you that strength to hold whatever it is. And it's really not our job to hold it. It's not our job to hold it. A small chair wouldn't be able to hold an elephant. Why? Because that chair was not built for that elephant. Now, God can build another chair to hold the elephant if he wanted to, but it's all about who he gives power to. And a lot of times, God did not build us to go through things that we cannot solve, to go through things that we cannot handle. He only puts so much on us that we can bear. He never put more than we can bear on us. So the things that we're going through, what does that scripture mean? That means we have to give it to God. At some point, when we feel like it's bearing and wearing us down and weighing us down, take away that sin, take away that weight, take whatever it is. We have to ask God to take whatever it is and whoever it is that is keeping us bound, that is taking our peace, that is taking our authority, that is taking our strength. And God, restore my strength, restore whatever it is. God, help me to be delivered. God, help me to seek your salvation, true salvation. And so then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And I was so tickled when I first read this, because basically you got Moses and he crying out on behalf of the people of the Israelites, and the Israelites, everybody crying out to God. And God, like, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Move on. Just move. All it takes is the move. In the season of 2025, we just gotta move. Don't think about it. Just move. Don't. If you're gonna do anything, pray about it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Don't try to see what's going on, how you're gonna put the plans together. God, the Bible says he already knows the plans he have. Plans to help you and not to harm you. So if he knows the plans, we shouldn't even be trying to think about the plans too much. Just move. God is saying, just move in this season. Just move. If you want better friends and better people around you, just move. If you want to see your dreams come true, just move. All you got to do is move. If you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to start that business, just move. Just do it. Just like Nike, do it. Don't wait, do it. But make sure when you're doing it in the things of God. You want to build that house, do it. You want to get that job, do it. You don't know how it's going to happen, just do it. You want to go to the apartment, you want to get that house, just do it. But make sure what you're doing, you've gone to God before. Because what God blesses, no man can take away. Whatever door God opens, no man can close. But if you open that door and God didn't open it, then hey, That's between you and God, because only God can open the true doors of your blessings. But if we open things before, or if we open that door before it's our time to open it, then now we have to see God even the more, because now at that point we're walking in disobedience. But for this story, God is telling them, move. And so, hold on, y'all. Let me go back to the scripture. This phone acting up. he said after he told him, after he told them to tell, after he told Moses to tell the Israelites to move on, he said, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And so right here, basically we see that God has given Moses the authority to stretch out his staff. So imagine, like, in this vision, you got Moses and he just has a big staff, and God gives him this power and he stretches the staff out. And so, you know, at this point, God is going to allow the Israelites to walk on dry ground. And if we go down some more, go to 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Y'all stay with me. I know it's a lot of reading, but we going somewhere. Stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with the wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptians' army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. All right, and we're going to go down to verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. So, y'all, we're going to break that down. So as he had the power to stretch out the staff, you have the wall of water to the left and to the right. And so they just walking on dry ground at this point. I mean, they just got a body full of water on their left and right, and nothing is in front of them. And God moved everything out the way so that they can go through. And as they're going through, they look back and they see, oh, okay, they're following us. The Egyptians are following us and Pharaoh. And so they like, Moses, once again, what we gonna do? And so God tells Moses, when everybody makes it past the body of water, because it was still a good distance in between them. So when everybody passes, I need you to go back and stretch your staff back over the water, and I will close it back up and they will drown. Like, not one of them is going to survive. And so Moses does just that, and he closes the water, and as the water closed, they all died. Because what they did was, the Egyptians, they tried to say, okay, let's just turn around. See, God knew that he had their enemies following them just enough to get them in the water. So that way, when they tried to turn back around, they was already too good deep into that water. They put themselves into that water. They put themselves to your enemies. They will put themselves so far deep into your life, into what you're doing, into what you got going on. So far that they forgot to protect themselves. And when they tried to protect themselves, God says, vengeance are mine. So we don't have to worry about what we go through, or who is harming us, or who is attacking us, or the problems we're going to go through. Get into where we need to go through. God is saying, vengeance is mine. Let me take care of that. Let me take care of them. Whoever is, you know, hurting your feelings, whoever is harming you, whoever is putting you in the spirit of depression, let me handle that depression, and let me handle the person who did it. Whoever is trying to seek you and harm you and put their hands on you, let me take care of that, because my hands is greater than yours. Let me handle that. Whatever is bothering you, putting you down, the job that is, you know, upsetting you, making you go home, stress every day, let me take that stress. Only I can handle that stress. But we have to learn to let God take lead. And so the people, they tried to go backwards, but it was too late. So God allowed Moses to close the water back down, and no one was left. And so when the Israelites seen that, they turned and they look and they like, oh wow, so this is the God that we serve. So this is the God that, you know, opened the waters for us to walk on dry ground, and then closed it back up for them to die in their sin, to die where they were trying to attack us. And not saying, you know, that the bad things of people, that what people are doing is they're just going to die. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God will handle them. God will take care however he needs to take care of that. But that is not our worry. What we're going through and how we're going to go through it is not our worry. It's only for God to worry about. We have nothing to fear. He said, be still and know that he is God. We have to learn to put God back into his place, back into his rightful place, into the position that he deserves, and say, God, I trust you. Wherever I am going, I trust you. Whatever job you want me to have, I trust you. Whatever house you want me to live in, I trust you. Whatever relationship you want me to be in, I trust you. Father, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my spouse. I trust you with my job. I trust you with my money. I trust you with everything, my income, my clothes on my body, the food that I'm going to eat. God is saying, do not worry about the food. Do not worry about the bills. Those are things that you only can control to an extent, because I am the controller of the outcome. You control your actions, and I'll control the outcome. That is when we have to learn our place. Let God be God and let him control everything. So I have a few notes as well. Constant certainty keeps your faith out of shape. And so this right here, this was God allowing the Israelites' faith to stretch, because they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. They still didn't know. And even at the end, you have to read. I want y'all to go back and read Exodus for yourselves, because it's so much like the whole book of Exodus is really, really good. And so we end up seeing that the people, the Israelites, they end up, even after God did all of that, they still ended up being hard-headed. They still ended up doing things they weren't supposed to. And I know at the end of the scripture say that, you know, they referenced God and they admired God. But even in that, and that's us sometimes, even after God works a great miracle, a big miracle, we still do not give him the glory that is due. We still do not do enough for him. We still are not reading our word like we should, or praying like we should, or doing things like we should, or even just understanding when we go through. The same God that got you out that car accident is the same God that's going to make sure that you're taken care of. The same God that allowed you to take care of that bill the last time, or gave you grace an extended period, is the same God that will do the same thing this time. God never changes. Circumstances change, people change, time change, but God never changes. Feelings may change, but God never changes. The bills may be changed, but God never changes. Clothes may change, but God never changes. Even when people try to judge you from your past. Okay, my past, and now I'm in my future. So the time has changed and I'm a new person, but God never changed. I may have been acting up or doing things I wasn't supposed to. People will try. Let me tell y'all, people will try to keep you, or try to tell you you're the same person that you was back then, or they'll just try to keep bringing bad stuff on you. Don't let people do that. If you know God is doing a great work in you, then you walk in that great work. You walk and talk in the newness that God is giving you. Because that's what he's doing. You can't allow people, and a lot of times we'll allow people to speak bad things over us, or say, oh, you're this, you're that. No, when God says yes, people can't say no. Like I said earlier, when God opens the door, no man can shut. And when God opens the door of salvation and deliverance, no man can shut that. No man can even enter into that door of bothering your peace and bothering you getting close to God. And so even in this, when they were going through the wilderness, trying to make it to where Moses was leading to them, because Moses was trying to get them to the place of, you know, safety, in the place where God wanted them to stay and fulfill all his promise. The purpose was to get to the promise, right? But even in the wilderness, and even in going through the bodies of water, God is pruning you. I don't know who needs to hear this, but God is pruning you. He's pruning you for where he's trying to get you. But it's all about how you take the pruning. It's your revelation behind the pruning. Are you going to see the pruning as God harm you or destroying you? Or are you going to see the pruning as God preparing you for your promise? God is preparing you for your promise. Whatever he promised you, don't think you're not going to make it there. don't think that God is not still taking you there. Yes, he is, but it's going to require you to go up. It's going to require you to elevate, regardless of how many people fall off, regardless of how many friends you lose, regardless of if God changes your job or your location or where you need to be in this season, regardless of if they take your house, God may bless you with a new one. Whatever the case is, whatever the case is, God is saying, trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but trust in him, that that promise is still going to be fulfilled, regardless of what man says, regardless of what friendships say, regardless of whoever's trying to talk down to you, say you're not going to make it, say you can't, say it can't be done, say it can't be fulfilled. You got to look at the people that are saying it, or look at the circumstance. We can talk to our circumstances, y'all. We can talk to whatever is keeping us bound and say, no, my God said, I will be this. I will be that. I will do this. I will do that. I will have this. I will have that. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because if God says yes, then nobody can say no. So we have to speak to our circumstances. Speak to whatever it is that the enemy is trying to, hold us down or keep us in shackles. And so something also that was really big in this story with the Red Sea, when it said that the waters was on their left and their right, I can only imagine, y'all, because it's a big sea. So I can only imagine how high the waters were. They were so high walking in between this. They were so high. Like, just imagine what they thought beginning before Moses stretched his staff out. Before then, they thought they were going to drown. They're like, are we going to swim across this body? What's going to happen? They didn't know what to expect. But God moved it out the way. Imagine thinking what's going to kill you. What's going to kill you is actually going to help you. It's actually going to be God's protection. And a lot of times, that's God telling us the same thing. For those that are battling with drug addiction or smoking or drinking, what it looks like, I know that pain. I know you feel pain from trying to stop. And I know you have to come to conclusion that, yes, you have to focus on what's reality when you're sober. I know it doesn't feel good. I know it doesn't look good. But God is saying today, that very thing that looks like death, I'm going to use that to protect you. I'm using that to help you get to where you need to go so you can be sober-minded, so you can get to where I am promising you. You can get to what I am promising you, those finances, that stability that you're looking for. If you could just see, the waters will not consume you. Oh, I feel this, y'all. I feel this so bad in my spirit. The waters will not consume you. They will not harm you. The fire will not burn you. You can go untouched if you just listen to my voice, says the Lord, and understand that the very thing that you thought was going to take you out, or you think it can take you out, it can't. I have the power, says the Lord. God has the power. He can move that water right on out the way. Those people that's in your way of getting to your blessing, he can move them right on out the way, standing to your left and your right. The management, if God is trying to, put you in management, the people standing in the way of that management, he can move them right on out the way. The finances you need to build that house or to get that apartment, he can put favor on you. Favor on the people that you need to allow you to get the apartment or the finances, and he will give them the ear to hear them, because you can't do it. You can't argue with whoever it is. Only God can. He will bless you, and he will bless the people around you, or give them the ear to hear them, so that you will be blessed in the end. Whatever it is, the relationship that you're seeking, that kingdom marriage or that kingdom relationship, God is saying, listen to my voice. Only you can hear through my voice. You want somebody to love you? Love me first. That is what God wants us to do, is love him first, and he will send everything. Everything else will come. Seek ye first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. But we can't seek deliverance and everything else out of man, out of money, out of income. We can't do that, because that puts us in a very unstable atmosphere. Imagine. It puts us on a foundation that's not firm. It's sliding and it's gliding. Okay, y'all? How can you put your trust in man and people? And man will fail you every single time. They will disappoint you every single time. You thought that you had the criteria or the qualifications to be in a certain position, but man denied you. Oh, well. Man has no say-so. God will allow them to turn around and say, actually, we're going to give you this job. Actually, we're going to give you this position. Actually, I didn't know what I was thinking the first time. God will allow the doctor's report to shift.
all because you pray, you got on your knees and you seek God first. You didn't seek the answer from the doctors. No, God, the doctors got the answer from God. They were the ones to say, you know what? We thought we seen something on that x-ray. We thought we seen something in that scan. But when we turned back around, there was a voice that we had to abide in. And there was something else in the picture that we thought. See, there was a blur. It was just a blur. The enemy will put a blur in front of you or in front of the people. See, we got to understand when we go through with people, it's not them. It's a spirit. It's the enemy. And the enemy will put a blur in their vision or in their way to hurt you or harm you or to speak something over you. And God is saying, may the blind, you know, see. May the blind see. So God can change the report of even the doctors. That is why the Bible say, who report will you believe? Whose report are we believing today? The promise will be fulfilled, but you got to go through something regardless of what people say. You have to go through it to get to it. It's just that simple, y'all. It's just that simple. So rehearse his goodness, rehearse his promises, whatever, you know, and the only way we're able to get to our promise with everything bad surrounding us and the water surrounding us, the only way that we're going to get through it or get to it is if we're rehearsing his promises and rehearsing his goodness, and we look back over our life and we see where God has took us or taken us from, and we can understand, God, you delivered me from this, so I will remember that in order to get to this. I remember you are the same God that did this for me then, so you're the same God that can do this now. But we have to want God with all of our hearts. We have to want that for ourselves. Y'all, I seen a video of this girl, I think it was on Facebook, of this girl, and she was holding a cup. I don't have a cup, but I'll use my phone for those that are watching on the video. But she was holding the cup and she was like, milk come to my mouth. She said, God allowed the milk to come to my mouth. And after a while, after a few seconds, she was like, God, I said, allow the milk to come to my mouth. And then she just picked up the drink and she sipped the milk. And so the whole purpose is sometimes God is saying, just do it. Like he said in this scripture, move. Moses, tell my people to move. God is saying, telling you today, pick that cup up. Just do it. A lot of times God is saying, you want deliverance? Just seek deliverance. Do deliverance. You want to stop drinking? Just stop drinking. It's just that simple. You want to stop smoking? Just stop smoking. I know the pain you're going to feel behind it, but if you really, really, and I mean really want deliverance, you can stop. You want to stop cussing? Just stop. And y'all, we have to focus on being better than we were yesterday. Go step by step. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't put yourself down, but also be realistic with yourself. Know what you can handle. Know what you can take. Don't go out in atmospheres and say, well, I'm not going to get drunk. And then you sipping and then you know where your limit is, but you just keep on sipping. You just keep on sipping because, you know, everybody like to say, the Bible say you can drink, but don't get drunk. Okay, so what if you know what's going to cause you to get drunk? Know your limit. Don't tease yourself. Don't do that. Just like with here, God is saying, move, just move, just move. If you know that you get into that limit, just move, just stop. And even with smoking, just stop. You want to stop, just stop. But make sure what you're doing, you're taking the steps to make sure you stop. You want to stop seeing that ex or whoever, or the boy or the girl or whoever is harming you, the friendships that you in, and you wonder why that friend keeps hurting you. If you want to really stop being around them, just stop. And ask God to help you. Ask him to. Sometimes God is just waiting for us to move. And when God say, when you move, I move, just like that. He mean just like that. When you move, he move. And that's the power behind it. But sometimes we just look for God to move first. And God will move first. But when it's to a point where God is moving ahead of you and you still stuck in your past and you not following him, it's to the point where now he got to come behind you. And he gonna have to watch you and say, I'm pushing you, my daughter. I'm pushing you, my son. You gotta keep going. Come on now. I can't do it for you. You gotta do it for yourself. You have to want it for yourself. Your heart posture has to be right. You have to want that pain to be dismissed. You have to want and to feel that need of not feeling like you can be controlled by people or controlled by the power of sin. No, you don't have to do it. Every time you get that call, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. Have the self-control to not go. Have the want of God to not go. And y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't have to do that. Testing in the wilderness brings blessings. This is a good for people that are taking notes. This is something good to write down. Testing in the wilderness brings blessings past the bitterness as long as you're not the hindrance. I'm going to say it again. Testing in the wilderness brings blessings past the bitterness as long as you're not the hindrance. So what does that mean? Testing in the wilderness. Yes. What you're going through is just a test. It's just to see if you're going to be faithful. He brought them out of the waters to see if they're going to keep going. He brought them out of the waters to show them that, yes, even though I put you on dry land, I will allow the people behind you to be covered over what they have already done. They already made their bed, so they're going to have to lay in it. Because you can't have your cake and eat it too. It don't work like that. And that goes the same thing for us. God wants to tell us today, you don't have your cake and eat it too. You can't think you're going to continue to live in sin and get away with it. No, because God, he is a merciful God. But we have to want deliverance and salvation for ourselves. We have to want to seek first the kingdom so that everything else may be added. We have to seek him, seek God. And so past the bitterness, even past all the pain and all the suffering will not go unnoticed because we know that Jesus suffered. So we're also going to have to suffer. Yes, everybody around you is doing one thing. And yes, it's going to hurt or you're going to suffer to have to do the other thing or do with the opposite of what everybody else is doing around you. But to be different, no, everybody does not make it into the kingdom of heaven. But if being different is going to allow me to see the kingdom of heaven, then yes, I will be different. If they call me holy, yes, I will be holy. If they call me a child of God, yes, that I will be a child of God. Because I know where my faithfulness is to. I know that my faithfulness is to God. And I will remain faithful until the day that I die. We have to tell ourselves that. That will keep us on the foundation that we need. As long as you're not the hindrance. What does that mean? Sometimes the devil is not even the hindrance. We are. Our hearts are. The Bible says the heart is the most deceitful thing. So if the heart is the most deceitful thing above them all, that means even above the devil. The devil only has so much power, y'all. He's very powerful now. Don't get me wrong. But he only has so much power. God has given us more power. And if God has given us more power, if our heart is the problem, and we're going based off our emotions and what we're feeling, our prayer should be, God, deliver me from my emotions. Just because I'm angry, I feel like I got to pop off at the mouth. No, deliver me from anger. Deliver me from my flesh. Deliver me from what I'm thinking. If you have somebody loyal in a relationship, deliver me that I always think they cheating on me. Deliver me, God. If I think somebody always feels some way about me or looking funny towards me, deliver me from thinking that. Because they probably don't even think that about me. And if they are, God, deliver me so that they may be delivered. So that I don't even have to worry about them. They're going to drown in the waters of even trying to harm me. Remember that, y'all. Remember this story of the Red Sea. We're not arguing with anybody in the season of 2025. We're not going back and forth. We're not doing things. We're going to stay in the peace of God, stay in the will of God, and allow God to fulfill our promises. Yes, we're going to go through some things. Yes, we are. If for those that are in school, going in college, yes, you're going to fulfill that bachelor's degree. You're going to fulfill that associate's degree. You're going to fulfill that master's degree. I speak it and declare it. You're going to get the house. You're going to get the job. You're going to get the finances. You're going to start the business. Your body will be healed. That relationship is on the way. That kingdom marriage is on the way. Your friendships that you're looking for, your godly friendship that you're looking for is on the way. Whatever it is, seek ye first the kingdom. And yes, it's on the way. I speak it for every last one of y'all. Oh, y'all, I feel so good. Jesus. Oh, by shape. Y'all gotta excuse me. I feel good because I want y'all to understand God has not forgotten about his people. This is the season and the time for blessings. Yes, elevation is here. You want whatever it is from God, y'all. I made a couple of videos. My earpiece was falling out. I made a couple of videos yesterday. Here we go. Sorry, y'all. The devil. I made a couple of videos yesterday because it was snowing. And I made a few jokes, but I was serious at the same time because I heard God say, reach up and grab it. The blessings is here. What people thought could never happen, the miraculous is here. God is doing a new thing, y'all, a new thing. They said the coast ain't seen snow in years. Matter of fact, there was snow on the waters, because I live on the coast. There was snow literally on the beach. Like, I'm not talking about melting down or anything like that. No, it was just snow. The beach was covered in snow, okay? And it's been a long time since that has happened. And I just heard God say, reach up and grab it. This is the miraculous. And God is saying on today, this is the miraculous for whoever needs it. Yes, it's on the way, but it's all going to come to your faithfulness and obedience. God will not forget your faithfulness. When everybody else was going outside doing what they want to do and you want to be faithful, God sees that. And he admires that. Don't think it's not getting past him. No, he admires it. But you're going to have to suffer through something. That degree that you want, you're going to have to go through something to get it. If you want it so bad, sit in your room. You don't got to go out every Friday, every Saturday, and every Sunday. And sometimes we don't even go to church on Sunday. We out. No, go to church. Give God the praise that is due. Go amongst his people. Be around people that want to seek the same thing you want to see. Don't seek nobody that all they want to do is party and get drunk and go smoking and go get females and go get dudes and everything. Because that's not cool, y'all. And God is not a trend. This is not something you just put in your bio and say, I'm a child of God. No, if you want to be a child of God, be that. But make sure your actions are following behind it. Make sure when somebody see you that they don't see a Jezebel. Make sure when somebody see you that they don't see the spirit of, you know, whatever else of depression or whatever else that the world is battling. We don't want to carry those same things. We got to be the light. Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to be it. Like, and I mean be it for real. But the only way that's going to happen is if we're walking in the things of God to make sure we're getting to our promises. Our promises. God is saying, yes, that promise is on the way. It's going to be fulfilled, my daughter and my son. But you have to be faithful. You have to put in the work and understand that, yes, things are going to happen. Things are going to begin to happen. People are going to begin to befriend you. But, oh, well, let them. Everybody is not going to the same place that you're going. Everybody is not called. Many are called, but few are chosen. And I'm looking for the chosen ones. Who wants to be chosen in this season, y'all? Who wants it? Who wants it that bad? And there's a scripture that I'm going to read, y'all. And it comes from, let me get to it. Excuse me, y'all. Let me get to it. So, and how we know, and this is not the scripture, but I'm going to say this scripture too while I'm on it. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God lets us know, this lets us know that we're going to go through things, because I meant to back that up with scripture when I said we're going to go through, because somebody was going to say, well, why do we have to go through, or how do we know we're going to go through? It tells us right here we're going to go through. We're going to go through. Why? Because Jesus went through. So what makes us think we're any better than Jesus to not go through? No, we're going to go through. But he said he already overcame the world. He already overcame everything we're going through. He bigger than that. He done overcame that. He like, easy stuff. Okay. Easy peasy pumpkin squeezy. And it really wasn't that easy for him, because it got to the point where it was his death and he was on the cross and he asked for that cup to pass him by. He asked God to take that cup from him. But nevertheless, he said, your will be done. And so we have to say, God, well, your will be done. I want to make it to the promised land. I want to see what you will have for me. But your will be done, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. If that means in order to actually get to my kingdom relationship and I got to get out of the relationship I'm in, okay, that is unhealthy, that is toxic, I got to do just that. If I got to get to the house or the apartment God wants me to be in, and I got to save up and move out of this one, then I got to do just that. If I got to stop hanging around the people that mean no good, that all they want to do is party and drink and lay up and smoke up and everything else, then that means I got to remove myself around them so I can get to the godly people. Because hot and cold don't mix. You can't think you can have your cake and eat it too and have both sides and think you're going to have good people and bad people, and then you trying to figure out what influence do I listen to. No, remove the bad out the way so you can focus on the good. And that way, when you focus on the good, maybe the bad will be your ministry. Maybe you can help them and turn them over to the good. But until then, we have to stop thinking that we could just, you know, do everything that we want to do to please our flesh. The Bible says their stomach is their God. We don't want everything that feels good to our stomach or feels good to our emotions to be our God. No, just because it feels good don't mean it's right. Because God's word is right. His word is right and it's tight and it's going to get us together. It's going to cut us open, but in the end, he's going to sew us back together again. He's going to make sure we put back together. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So what does that mean? Godly sorrow brings repentance. So even in the end of what I just read for Exodus, the people, yes, they were godly sorrowful, and they believed in Moses at that point. They believed in God, but it still wasn't enough. Why? Because they were worldly sorrow. They were worldly, had worldly sorrow, which eventually leads to death. It says, but worldly sorrow brings death. So worldly sorrow, let me give some examples for y'all. Worldly sorrow is saying, you know what? God, I'm sorry that I drunk last night, and forgive me for my sin. But today is a new day, and I know I'm not supposed to, but you forgive me for my sins. That's worldly sorrow. And it's going to lead to death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. This is scripture, y'all. I'm giving y'all scripture. You don't believe me? Go search it. Go look it up. Go look it up. It's in the word. It's everything I'm giving to you is in the word. But we can't keep making excuses for ourselves. Worldly sorrow is saying, God, I know that person isn't for me, but I got to go back to get this, you know, one feel good, or because they shower me with blessings. They shower me with clothes. They give me everything I want and they just never tell me no. Okay, God never tells you no. And if he tells you no, it's for your own good. It's for your protection. God can give you everything you want and some. And so when that person hurts us, worldly sorrow will say, God, I'm sorry. God, oh my gosh, help me. God, they hurt me. Help me. I need you. And then you back with that same person or those same people that hurt you. That's worldly sorrow. That's worldly sorrow. When you ask God for a job and then you start idolizing that job and then everything in the job is going wrong and then you pray to God for the job, but because you wasn't, you know, godly sorrow, then now you back worshiping money again. And so these things put us in cycles, y'all. It puts us in cycles and cycles. And we wondering why, God, I haven't changed. I'm stuck. I'm stagnant. I haven't, you know, moved. I'm not able to elevate. And God is saying, because you were worldly sorrow. You had worldly sorrow, not godly sorrow. Why? Because scripture says godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. So no, I don't regret leaving the people I did. No, I don't regret leaving behind the friendships I did. No, I don't regret stop drinking. No, I don't regret stop smoking. No, I don't regret overeating. No, I don't regret stop wearing the clothes that I'm wearing. No, I don't regret anything because I'm godly sorrowful. And when I have a godly sorrow, it leads to salvation. I mean, I'm talking about real salvation. Salvation that allows you not to ever do it again. Salvation that causes you to be new in Christ. Because how can we say we new in Christ but still doing old things? The two will never mix. They won't. They won't. And we had Bible study on last night with my church. And God explained to me then that there's a lot of mixed breeds in the kingdom of God. People that think they're living in the things of God, but their actions are saying the opposite, y'all. We have to make sure if we want God to fill us with everything that he wants to fill us with, then we have to make sure we're walking in the things of God. And for the people that are beginners, y'all, take it slow. Take your time. Take baby steps. God will help you. He understands where you're at. He understands that you're new to this and you're trying to be true to this and you're trying. And so keep pushing. Keep doing what you're doing. God is seeing everything that you're doing. He's not going to let that go to waste. He sees that. He sees that you're trying. He sees that you even took the steps to listen to this podcast. He wants to help you. He does. And he will help you. Just stay where you're at. Keep pushing. But for those that think you know God and think you're doing the right things and think that, you know, everything is going good the way you are, no, do not be comfortable where you're at. Only want to go up. Don't go up in the things of the world and think because you're getting rich and you're making more money and you're becoming more successful that God is pleased. No, because God wants you to be successful in the things of him. He wants you to make sure your relationship with him is successful. Not just where you are in the things of the world, but where you are in Christ. Let's be servants to God. Amen. Because when we're servant to God, then God can make sure that he can trust us. God can make sure he can trust us. Don't stop. This is another note, y'all. Don't stop in hell. Go through it. We can't stop where we are. Why? Because what we're doing right now, the hell that we're going through right now, y'all, we can't sit in that. We can't stay in that. We have to move forward. Imagine all the bad things that we're going through, and imagine like addictions holding us down. No, don't stop in that addiction. Go through it. Don't stop in those bad relationships or those bad friendships. Go through them. Don't settle for less. No, we're not settling in 2025. We're only wanting bigger and better and everything that God has in store for us in this season. I'm going to read one more scripture, y'all. I'm going to read two more scriptures. Psalms 32. Therefore, let all... It's 6 and 7, y'all. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. That was for when I was talking about the waters overcoming you and how they won't overcome you. Amen. So that's just a scripture to back it up. I believe I already discussed it. So we're not going to, I just wanted to make sure I give you some type of scripture to fall back on. Amen. And then the other scripture is going to be out of Exodus 17. And then, sorry, y'all, I'm trying to get to it. So basically in Exodus 17, towards the end, when they were still going through, like I said, I just want y'all to study the whole book of Exodus. But basically, they ended up fighting, I want to pronounce it right, the Amalekites. And so even in this, I'm not going to break the whole story down, but even in this, Moses was able to be held up because Joshua was fighting the people, the Amalekites that came to fight the Israelites. And so, but Moses, as long as he held his staff out over them, they were winning. But when he got weak and was falling, his arm was falling, they started losing. And so Aaron and who else was it? Aaron and Hur, it says, H-U-R, went to help Moses basically hold his arms up for him. And so God was pleased by that. But I say that scripture to say, go back and look at it to get a full understanding. But I say that to say, we can't afford, because it said when he put it down, we can't afford to be weak in the season. We got to be strong. Because when we're weak, the enemy think he's winning. He think he doing something, y'all. So we got to stay strong. If you got to get some godly people that can hold you up, hold your staff up, hold you up in the midst of what looks like death, hold you up in the midst of what looks like pain. If we could just stay in the midst of where God wants us, God will fulfill that. And even in the end of that, at the end of that chapter, let me go back to it, y'all, just to tell y'all this. It said, the Lord said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generations to generations. And the Lord said, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. So God basically said, because you went against my people, I'm helping my people. I'm going to blot out the names of everybody that did that. And I'm going to make sure that they basically curse from generation to generation, because how dare you? How dare you? And so that is what I'm saying that to say, y'all, just be strong in the Lord. Don't worry about what you're going to go through. Don't worry about the people you're going to encounter. Don't worry about the people that hurt you. Don't worry about the struggles that you're going to go through. We're going to go through. We're going to go through. But that does not mean that God is not faithful, that God is not there for us, that God is not, you know, listening, because he is. He's going to take care of business. He's going to make sure you're taken care of. But as long as we're doing our portion and our part, God will be pleased. Amen. So that's all I have for y'all today. We did go a little bit longer. But to God be the glory, because everything that was said, I believe, needed to be said. God had his way, as he always does. So I pray that you all have a beautiful rest of your week. Whenever you're watching this, I pray God continue to keep you. I pray that he leads you to salvation and leads you to where you need to be. I pray that you remember that the promise will be fulfilled as long as you are obedient and you're walking in the things of him. Amen. You all stay blessed, stay protected, stay covered. Continue to pray for yourself day in and day out. Anoint yourself. You know, just do everything that it takes to just stay in the will of God. And just don't think that what you're doing is enough. Enough will never be enough. Amen. I don't know who that was for or what that was for, but I just hear the Spirit of the Lord. Just make sure you're going above and beyond past enough, because we can always go up higher in the things of God. Our purpose has not been fulfilled until God says, all right, you're done. Good job. Good and you know, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is when enough is enough. But until then, y'all, we are only to keep going, keep doing the things of God, going higher, you know. And for the people that are just starting, just keep going, keep doing it, keep living, keep being great. So I love y'all. I pray this was everything that y'all needed and some. I pray that you stay in the will in the face of God. Don't let anything keep you from the presence of God. And you all just continue to be blessed. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned for the next episode. I love y'all. Mwah.